Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. Joining me, as always, to talk all things Washington Capitals, my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Feeling good. Let's go over. What have the Caps been up to since we talked last?
They've played a little bit of hockey.
A little bit. Not much.
Just some.
Smidge.
They've had some. A scotch, you might say, of hockey to play. When did we record last? Last Wednesday or so? So they've played three games, went 2-0-1 in that time frame. They had the shootout, the not-so-great shootout loss to Dallas, where they didn't even get any goals in the shootout. And I thought it was actually entertaining, the broadcast, because it was on, what was it, ESPN. The national broadcast had, they're talking about Kuznetsov, and they're like trying to like say what he's going to do in the shootout, and didn't mention the slow buildup at all.
Right.
And then he went and did it, and they're like, oh yeah, this is his thing. And I was like, why didn't you talk about that like a minute ago when you guys were like totally talking about what you thought he was going to be doing? But it didn't work that time. And then the Dallas goalie just did a really good job. I think he had a poke check on one, or looked like a poke check on one. And so they had that game. They should have had that game as a win. But then they had a pretty dominating win against the Rangers and then a comeback win against Chicago. So, you know, they had a little bit of a bad spell again, you know, with the end of the West Coast trip, the loss to Vegas, the embarrassing loss to Arizona, and then, you know, not a great game against Dallas, and they turned it around and they actually got, instead of just a low goal or differential win, you went out and beat, you know, one of the best teams in the East right now, top of your division in the Metro, the Rangers. And then they, you know, Chicago's not very good, but you're able to come out and come from behind to win that one. So it was, you know, it's been a good week for the Caps. They moved to 14-8-3 on the year. They're third in the division. And interestingly enough, I saw the statistic on, oh, I can't remember who posted this. It might have been the Caps, or maybe it was Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post. They're 4-0 on the second of back-to-back games this year, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's weird.
You think, you know, you got an older team, your legs are going to be a little bit more tired, but they're 4-0 in the second game of back-to-back, so that's pretty good. 2-2-1 in their last five, 5-4-1 in their last 10. You want to see that a little bit better in terms of wins, but, you know, I'll take it right now. Is this team still, they're still figuring, and we talked about this last week, they're still figuring themselves out. You know, you're seeing some players like Dylan Strome, who are just tearing it up. Strome's leading the team, not points, in goals right now. Where's the stats? I have too many tabs open. He's leading the team in, I can't even find it.
Yeah.
It's in here somewhere. I swear. I have it as part of my bookmarks, but I can't find it. He is, what's he got? I think he's leading the team in goals, definitely. He's got, come on, 11 in 25 games. He's got 14 points. Ovechkin is leading the team in points and is tied for the lead in assists from, what is it, Nicholas Ovechkin now?
Nicholas Ovechkin, okay. It's
Alex Backstrom.
He's fused with his buddy.
He's only got 5 goals, but he's got 11 assists. So he's got 16 points in 25, which is not Ovechkin. But yeah, we could talk about him in a minute. But this is not the Ovechkin we've ever seen in this league in terms of goal production, I should say. You know what? It's been a decent week. It's a nice rebound after kind of not a great game against Dallas, but a nice turnaround after a somewhat disappointing West Coast trip.
Yeah, it's really weird. We have been calling it this team, this phrase, I want to say since 2019 to 2020, Jekyll and Hyde. That's what it feels like. You don't know what team you're going to get on what night, and sometimes they can look really dominant against a really good team like the New York Rangers, and then they can lay an egg against a team that you kind of think is like a zero chance of losing type of game, and they lose, but they don't just lose. They lose like by embarrassing numbers, like nothing was working in the slightest. But I don't know how else to describe this team right now as just Jekyll and Hyde. They could be, you know, the best team in the world, or they could be the team that looks like they don't belong in the NHL. I don't really understand like how they haven't found that balance yet. But like you said, it is a new system. Maybe they're still figuring things out.
I think the power play especially is one that's still kind of they're figuring themselves out. And I think, and I wasn't the first one to come up with this idea, but their power play was so ingrained into the guys that have been here a long time. Not Backstrom anymore, but Ovechkin and Wilson and Oshie and Carlson, and that, you know, it's easy to fall into old habits. And the power play has gotten kind of stale over the last few seasons, and they were looking at, or they have been trying to revamp it, and so they got a power play goal, Brandon, recently. Like,
that's different.
It's a rare thing. There's Bigfoot, the Abominable Snowman, and a Capitals power play goal. That's what we got going on right now. But they got a power play goal, and you like to see that continue as they move forward. But the thing is, like, you have a star player in Alex Ovechkin who's just not producing goals. He's doing a lot of other things, but he's not producing goals. He's still hitting. He's still playing well. He's providing assists. He's just not producing goals. But you're getting everyone else to step up in games where you're coming out with a win. And so it's just like you said, it's a Jekyll and Hyde. It's a weird team right now. You're getting production from a lot of other guys in the lineup. Some guys, not so much. And we'll see if some other guys get an opportunity, maybe some new guys, as there's some rumors out there. And we'll kind of see what that does to this team, especially with the one rumor. Like, they're potentially going to have too many defensemen on this team.
Let's just dive right into that. I mean, that seems to be the big news of this new week. We are recording a little bit earlier this week, but hey, it's December. You got to roll with it. But there's a lot of noise about this FX show, The Bear. What's up? What's the deal with that, the Caps?
We're really big fans of this show. Like, they have it on the locker room before the games, and then, you know, if they're not going to finish it in time, they have to stop it. Everybody's got to make sure they remember.
Right. I mean, solid show, though. Account. Solid show. Never really good. It. Oh, dude, never, you're missing it. Out. It
if
is
you
so
were
going
to go into detail, like if this joke was going to go into detail, I was going to be screwed. Like, I was not going, you're like, yeah, did this happen? And there's that guy. And I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, no, yeah, that guy's a total jerk. And you're like, he's the nice guy on the show. I was like, I meant like people are jerks to him is what I'm trying to get out of this. So the rumor, the thing is, like, so Ethan Bear is a defenseman, played with Carolina and then Vancouver last year. And he got traded to Vancouver. The Caps, it was at the trade deadline, or maybe it was before the deadline, they wanted him from Carolina. There were rumors that they were trying to bring him in. And I guess Vancouver offered a better deal, or Carolina didn't want him in the division, or whatever.
Right.
But he had a one-year deal. He went to Vancouver, did pretty well, I think. I don't know. Phil might know better as a alleged Vancouver Canucks fan.
Allegedly.
But then he got injured at the World Championships, injured his shoulder, had to have surgery, and so no one signed him to a contract. So he's just been out there rehabbing, and it sounds like he's ready to come back, and Vancouver were like, oh, well, we'll just sign him then. But now it looks like they've been priced out in terms of both contract and potential years. And the latest thing from Elliot Friedman is the Caps, I think, are the team to beat in terms of getting his signature right now, because a number of teams were thinking, well, we'll sign him to a one-year deal, and then if he does well, or you can say healthy, we'll sign him to a longer deal. But the Caps were like, well, we'll give you a couple of years. These are all rumors. No, you know, we don't know if this is true. He might sign somewhere else. But rumors are the Caps are willing to offer him term on his deal that he wants. And so if you're Ethan Bear, you're coming off surgery, and you're like, well, I can get a 2-3 year deal as opposed to these 1 year deals. And if it's potentially decent money, you know, I don't know what his contract was last year. Let me look that up. But if I'm him, I'm looking at that going, you know what? This is a good team. They're getting younger. There's certainly some promise there in terms of what they have and what they potentially have in the future. He's 26 years old. Let's see. When is his birthday? So he turns 27 near the end of June. So he's definitely a young defenseman. And defensemen, you know, sometimes they take a little bit longer to develop, so he could be getting right into the prime as the Caps are signing him. Looks like he is on his last contract. Was it $2 million cap? $2.2 million. Or his cap, it was $2.2. So it's not a ton of money, and the Caps have room to spare in terms of their salary cap. So this is a move for them that in my eyes makes a lot of sense. Now, if you're signing to a $3 or $4 million deal for 3 years and he gets hurt, I mean, I guess if it's a long-term injury, you can put him on LTIR, but this is a guy that I think it makes a lot of sense to bring in and to have him on the roster. Now, there are some things to be concerned about, both with the injuries and the production. I mean, last season he had 16 points in 61 games. I actually don't know if he is more of an offense or defensive defenseman, but there's a lot of positive talk, and there's a number of teams that have been after him. So it's not like he was a free agent that they're like, you know, we'll take a flyer on this guy. Like, clearly they wanted him before, and they're coming after him again. That sounded more like scary than I intended. Like, they're not trying to murder him. They would very much like him to play for their team. So I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing. It sounds like he, you know, he's a right-handed shot, so Caps like to, I think Carberry likes to have lefties on the left, righties on the right.
Right.
But I'd be curious to see, because right now I think they have Carlson, Van Riemsdyk, and Jensen on the right. So who's he moving over to the left side, or is he moving over to the left side? I think I read that, you know, Van Riemsdyk is also comfortable playing on the left. Basically, who's coming out of the lineup on the defensive side if you sign him? It's not Favari and Carlson. They're your number one pair. Is it Edmondson or Jensen, and he's playing on the second pairing? Or is it Sandin or Van Riemsdyk on the third pairing? We know Jensen's been struggling a little bit this season. And then you've got Alexiev and Lucas Johansson, who are on the roster, but they're not playing. And I don't know what you're doing. So basically two things. One, you're going to have to find a way to get him into the lineup. So who's coming out? And then two, are you going to carry 9 defensemen when you can only play 6? I mean, that's just stupid. You actually can't, because I'm pretty sure they're at the limit of 23 players on the team right now. So someone's going down to Hershey.
So are the Canucks in need of a defenseman, a cheaper defenseman? Could this be like a trade of a defenseman type of thing, or, you know, I don't understand.
Canucks don't have him under contract. He's a free agent.
So he just can go wherever he wants.
He can go wherever he wants. He was on a 1-year deal last year, and my guess is he was going to get signed in the offseason. Then he got injured, and teams were like, we'll just wait.
And oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
He's a straight up free agent. So that anyone has the opportunity to sign him. And I think Vancouver thought they were the team that was going to get, you know, bring him back in. And then it looks like they've just either money or years in a contract. They're like, you know what? Never mind. We're out.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What is so special about this guy, about Ethan Bear? Because I'm not very familiar with his game. And when you look him up on Twitter, X, formerly Twitter, and you see a bunch of Caps fans and like the latest trend, and they're like, oh, this guy would be a great fit. This would be a great fit. The Caps are smart. They're doing this, they're doing that. Then you see some Canuck fans and they're going, yeah, good luck with that guy. We got nothing out of him. You know, he's not anything. Why would you pay that much money for a guy who doesn't even play? So it seems like Caps fans are really excited. Canuck fans are really excited. He's not a Canuck anymore. So like,
well, it's so easy to look at a guy who's like, oh, well, he's not going to come back. You're like, screw that guy. He sucks.
Yeah. So you I'm kind of confused how I'm feeling about this. Is this, yeah, you seem excited about it, but is it a good deal for the Capitals or is it a good deal for the Canucks that he's not on the books?
I mean, I feel like with the Caps, they have, for the most part, when they've gone out and kind of, not uncovered, but like brought in guys that maybe didn't work out somewhere else, or they bring them in for a short term to see if, you know, they've still got something. It tends to work out. I mean, Dylan Strome right now is leading the team in goals, and Chicago is, you know, just let him go. The Milano, even though he's, you know, he had a bit of a downstretch, not downstretch, but like a poor stretch recently in terms of his play and points production. Anaheim let him go, and the Caps brought him in, had him in Hershey for a little bit to kind of get him up to speed. I think if the Caps want to go after him and sign him, I'm excited because there's a reason. You know, he's 5'11", 197. Actually, I think I was wrong before because I was doing a little bit of research while you were asking. But, like, it sounds like at least some of the talks about him a couple of years ago is he's his two-way defenseman. He can move the puck. He can move it up the ice. This team likes to... The goal is to be in control of the puck and move it around quickly. And if you're signing for a 2-year deal and not a ton of money, I don't think it's the end of the world. And at 26 years old, there's time for him to continue to grow and to progress. And maybe he becomes a really good player for this team. And is another young defenseman. And, you know, if you have 9 defensemen on this roster, not only are you sending one guy down, but you might be looking to trade someone. Are you looking to move someone out? Because you just don't have room for them anymore. You know, is it Alexiev or Lucas Johansson, or is it Nick Jensen? Are you looking at him going, you know what? This guy might be able to take that spot. And let's pair him up with Joel Edmondson, who's a veteran guy in the NHL, and let them play together. You're not going to trade Edmondson. You just signed the guy. You're not losing Rasmus Sandin. So who are you moving out?
I mean, odd man out, looking at the pairings, I'm thinking Trevor Van Riemsdyk seems like the odd man out, but
they like him, though.
They do. They really do.
Plays on the PK. See, I wonder if it's Jensen. I feel like he's been struggling a bit lately, but, you know, maybe it's more of a rotational thing. So guys stay, you know, if you're an older team, you get an opportunity for guys to kind of be healthy and get a rest every once in a while. I don't think is necessarily the worst thing. You know, it might mess with consistency or players' consistency or an opportunity to gel chemistry, but I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing. And, you know, we've seen, like, maybe I'm forgetting, but like, name the last guy they brought in that didn't really, aside from Mantha, which seems like he's turning things around this season. Name the last guy they brought in that, like, they're like, whoop, missed it on that one.
Shattenkirk.
No, but that's not recent. Like, recently. That was a while ago. And that I don't even think, because Shattenkirk, it wasn't that he wasn't working out before he came here. He was like the number one dude at the deadline to get, and the Caps went out and acquired him. Yeah. Right. And that just didn't work out here. But like, Strome, Milano. I mean, look at Connolly before. Yeah. Like, there's a bit of recent history of them bringing in players and being able to get something out of them. And that's through different coaches, by the way. So, and Carberry, you know, this team's kind of hit or miss this season. It's his first season in charge, and his first season in charge in the NHL. But this team is, I think they're better than expected, but they're not as good as we're used to. Does that make sense?
That does, 100%,
like,
yes.
Recently, it's like the Caps were always a team to be talked about, and they were at the top. And let's say they same points right now, same number of wins and losses, but Ovechkin was scoring more. I feel like there wouldn't be quite the same level of conversation that there is about him or this team in terms of, like, we don't really know. Like, I don't know. I feel like he's getting a lot out of a lot of Carberry, that is. He's getting a lot out of a lot of players. That especially, I mean, I keep talking about him. Dylan Strome is just tearing it up right now. Tom Wilson's tearing it up. He's getting a lot out of guys that we need to be playing well. Defense, little hit or miss. Maybe that's just taking a little bit longer for them to kind of get with the system and play better. And we'll kind of see what happens as we go forward. But I'm curious to see if they bring in, I want to call him Bear, but then it just sounds weird. Like, it sounds like a nickname. If they bring in Ethan Bear and he's the guy that can help to make this team better defensively, and I'm all for it.
I mean, I'll be very intrigued to see what happens. All the signs point to the Capitals doing their thing and bringing this guy in. But like you said, where does he fit in? Who's getting traded? Who's being let go? Is somebody being put on waivers? I guess only time will tell. But if he can improve this team, let's do it. Let's bring him in. Now, a guy that returned to the lineup since we talked last was TJ Oshie. He got a really nasty hit a couple weeks ago, didn't travel with the team on the California road trip. He made his return to the lineup, and after a big hit by TJ Oshie, the Caps really woke up against the Chicago Blackhawks and looked really, really good. So I think TJ Oshie kind of showed how much he means to this team on the ice and maybe in the locker room as well.
Am I the only one that doesn't feel like that was that big of a hit?
You don't think it was that big of a hit?
Okay, so here's my thought. Like, it sounds like a big hit because it's near the boards.
Right.
But I also feel like if it was at open ice, it would have looked like a bigger hit. Otherwise, it looks like sort of a generic hit, but he hit him shoulder right into the chest. Completely legal hit. Solid hit. I like that they just kept playing. Like, I feel like it did wait. It definitely woke them up. But, yes. Like, even I felt like Beninati overreacted a little bit in terms of, like, he was like, whoa, and I was like, really? Like, it was a good hit, but I feel like we see those more. I mean, maybe it's because they fell down, which, to be fair, they're on ice. It's slippery. But I don't know. I did feel like when everyone was blown up about it being a big hit, and I was like, oh, it's a solid hit. It's funny. Oshie doesn't seem like, and he is, and I know he is, but you look at him on the ice, and you're like, I don't feel like that's a big hitter. But he is a big, like, he does like to hit. This is a big team. And we know the Caps are a big team. That's why they did really well in 2018 in that cup run, is they were a big team that could physically not only just move the puck around, but they could out physical you. That didn't make sense. But they were more physical than the other teams.
They were able to manhandle teams.
Oshie, I always find just entertaining because I always think of him as more like a finesse guy. But he'll lay a hit. Which is maybe that's part of the problem is that, before the game, he's definitely a goof. Him and Ovechkin yelling at each other and stuff before the games. And then the butt stick thing. I'd be worried, honestly, with him and Wilson, I always worry that one of them's going to get hit in the back of the thigh. And, like, that's, I know they have, like, you know, pads on, but that's still, that would hurt, I feel like, a fair amount. Maybe not. I don't know. But, no, I just, you know, that definitely helped turn it around. Sometimes that worked. You know, you have big hits, big hits, a fight, an impressive play that maybe doesn't quite go in or something. But, like, you can, as one individual can turn the mentality of a team around during a game. And I think Oshie's always kind of been that guy. And he's one of those guys that when he's out injured or when he finally decides to hang him up, he's a guy that's, I feel like, is going to be, it's going to be more difficult to replace him in the locker room than on ice. And it's going to be hard to replace his production on ice. Maybe not as much lately, but, like, overall his tenure both in the NHL and with the Capitals, he's going to be a hard guy to replace in the locker room.
100%. Definitely agree with that. But, TJ Oshie doing his thing. this team is better when he's on the ice. So I'm happy to see he's there and happy to see that he's healthy and recovered from that latest injury pretty quickly. Now, a guy who was not injured but was a healthy scratch, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, also returned to the lineup this past week. And maybe that healthy scratch was a good reset because he came out flying and was able to get a goal in his first game back.
He had a goal against Dallas and assist against the Rangers and nothing against Chicago, but I mean, you can't expect it necessarily every game, but right. You know, sometimes even veterans need a little bit of a wake up call where you're up in the press box and the coach is like, look, I mean, it probably didn't help Carberry's point that they went and got destroyed by Arizona, but maybe it was a moment for Kuznetsov. It was a wake up call. It was like, look, man, if you're not going to, you can't just kind of go through the motions here. You need to be at your top, at the highest level every game. And it looks like we weren't seeing that. And being up in the press box was a little bit of a wake up call for him. So as a young head coach in the NHL, to essentially bench what should be your number one center, that's a ballsy move.
You remember the Bruce Boudreaux days that he had Ovechkin stay on the bench and miss a shift, and Ovechkin kind of like looked behind him and called him a not so very nice name. I mean, Bruce Boudreaux, he didn't take any crap from his players, but Ovi was obviously very unhappy about that. Barry Trotz did the same thing to Ovi when he missed a practice or slept in because his alarm didn't go off. He got scratched and was sat out for that game because he didn't make practice on time. I think he respected Barry Trotz a little bit more than Bruce Boudreaux, or maybe he was just a little bit older, didn't take it as personally. But for a guy like Spencer Carberry, who's just coming into the leagues and willing to do that to one of your top six players, I mean, that does show he's not scared to do it. And, you know, maybe, like you said, this is a good thing for Kuzi.
I have no problem with it. And if it works and he woke up and he starts to produce and you see more of the sort of 2017-2018 Kuznetsov, I am 100% for it. And like we said, it was a gutsy move by Carberry, but it's also sending a message that I'm not just some young head coach. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm here to win, and you're either on board or you can go sit in the press box or you can go play for somebody else. So I like it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it sends the right message.
Absolutely. Now let's keep going. Let's talk about some more players making some headlines. Charlie Lindgren, our goaltender number two, our backup goaltender, he got yet another shutout, this time against the New York Rangers, which his brother plays for. Are we still saying Charlie Lindgren's a backup? I feel like we're back in the Vitek Samsonov days already, and we've got a 1A, 1B situation.
I think Kemper's your 1A, and Lindgren, I mean, I think to the outside the locker room, they're going to say it's a 1 and a 2. There's a starter and there's the backup. But I wonder if they're looking at it as, you know, it's more of a 1A and a 1B, that there's a guy here who's playing really well. And obviously these things can fluctuate and change as we go through the season. But I think they're looking at this going, this guy's pretty good. Like, I think we're going to keep him around and there might be something here where maybe we make some decisions in the offseason. I don't think there's any reason for them not to split the duties. You know, and I think it makes a lot of sense in terms of why they're doing so well in the second of back-to-back games is because they have two very good goaltenders. And it's nice to know that, and I think as a player playing in front of the goalie, you know, when the backup comes in, you're not like, all right, I'm going to have to block more shots, or I'm going to make sure we control the puck a little bit more, and we're going to have to do X, Y, and Z even more and exert ourselves more to make sure this guy's not getting overwhelmed. You know, you got a guy back there and you're like, okay, cool. This is a guy I trust.
Do you trust Darcy Kemper over Charlie Lindgren? Or do you think one has a little bit more talent than the other? Because personally, I can tell you, I'm more confident of this team when Charlie Lindgren's in net more than I am Darcy Kemper.
You're a big Lindgren guy.
I am.
That's your boy.
Full blown admit it. Yeah, that's the guy. I like him.
He's a really good goalie, and I think if it continues throughout the season, you know, they have some interesting decisions to make in the offseason. You could even see Lindgren being like, hey, I want to play more. I want to be the number one guy. I mean, his contract is – hang on. I got to find it on Cap Friendly. Lindgren is, yeah, I thought so. Another year at 1.1. So, you know, if he does really well and he continues playing really well, if they go into the offseason, they say, hey, he's going to be our new number one, and say they trade Darcy Kemper, not only do you get that salary cap space back, given you still have to go out and find another backup, or maybe you bring up Hunter Shepard from the minors.
Hunter, I was about to say, yeah.
But the reality is, as of now, I don't think they're trading Kemper. Unless, let's say, knock on wood, the Caps plummet in terms of their standings and their play this season, and which means Carberry is probably gone. But then also, you likely put Kemper on the trade block to a team that, you know, is looking for a playoff push or is in the playoffs that wants a number one goalie. And maybe, you know, even though Kemper's got a couple of years left on his deal, he's got 3 years after the season left on his deal at 5.25. You could go into next season with Lindgren, or the rest of this season with Lindgren as your number one. But I think it's going to be a sort of a 1A, 1B Kemper. As long as they're both playing well, it's going to be a 1A, 1B thing. And I think it's helpful because Kemper's shown that he's not always healthy. You know, he needs some time off. So it's nice to know that you're not taking not really a step down with your backup.
No, I definitely don't think you're taking a step down or anything like that. Personally, though, I can see Charlie Lindgren being a number one goaltender somewhere else or with the Capitals with Hunter Shepard as his backup. I really can see that happening. I don't want it to. Let me preface that. I don't want it to. I like the two guys we have. I think they're both talented, but Charlie Lindgren's gonna he can be the number one guy here or somewhere else.
See, the interesting aspect is what will they want to do in the offseason, and is Lindgren a one-season wonder?
Right.
And I say that because I just don't know. And I don't think we know partially because Lindgren hasn't shown his career. But maybe he's also a guy that just took a little longer to, you know, develop. Like, maybe he's turning into the number one goaltender now, and it just took him a little longer. I mean, he'll be 30. Where did it go? When's his birthday? Oh, it's in a week.
Oh, good for him.
Next Monday, happy early birthday, Charlie Lindgren. He turns 30 on December 18th. So he will, you know, he's not a young guy necessarily, but if this is, you know, you we're speaking hypothetically here. I still think Kemper is going to be around for the rest of his contract, or most of it anyways. But like, if Lindgren's your number one guy, is he your number one guy for 2-3 years while you develop one of your young goalies? Sure. That's certainly a possibility. You know, he's your placeholder for the next couple seasons. I don't know. I mean, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yes. Good problems to have, good goaltending. But if it's me, I'm using Charlie Lindgren more than I am Darcy Kemper. But I'm not the head coach. That's just me. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more Caps news. We are going a little bit long already, but we got a lot going on. You brought up Alex Ovechkin earlier. Let's talk about him a little bit more again. We talked about him last week saying, is father time just catching up to him? But Alex Ovechkin does not look like Alex Ovechkin this year.
See, I think it's just in the goal scoring. You know, he's ringing some posts. He's hitting the goalie. He's still terrible in the shootout, but that he was really only good at
that's never been his thing.
I know. So here's the thing. It was the first like 10 times when they started doing it. And then after that, he just couldn't do it anymore. And he was like, it was just not good enough at all. And he used to do it differently. He used to come out with the tongue out, and he used to do this move where he would get close to the goalie and he would like kick his leg up before he would go into the fake. And he stopped doing that. And then he just like,
wasn't that Matt Hendricks?
Hendricks had a different move. Ovechkin, when he first started, he would do like a kick up. Like almost like he was like a wide receiver getting ready to like make a juke and a run. So he's just never very good in the shootout. I don't know what's wrong with him this season. I mean, he's not getting quite the same level of service. I mean, the top two centers he's played with, I would say to be fair in his career, and Kuznetsov and Backstrom, one of them's essentially retired and the other one is not playing very well. So he's not necessarily getting the help that he got for it. And it's not like Dylan Strome's racking up the assists. Dude's racking up the goals. So I don't know if it's a lack of service or if it's just Is he getting his body's just he's not able to do it anymore? You know, I mean, he's not Jaromir Jagr. He's not playing into his 50s. So I don't know. It's a weird one. I kind of think as the power play gets better, he's going to get more goals, but we'll see. I also feel like he's just not getting the same level of service that he used to in terms of being in his spot. You know, the passages aren't quite as crisp as they used to be, and if that gets better, maybe that'll help.
It seems like that all of that talk about chasing Gretzky has really died down in the last month and a half.
He's not scoring any goals. Yeah, he's still stuck at 823 or whatever it was. I mean, at this rate, it's going to take a call. He's going to have to sign, I think, another contract to be able to pull it off. And that'll be kind of...
Maybe, wasn't it... Russian Machine put it out and said, but with the pace he's going right now, would it take him till like 2027?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's like playing until 2027.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe over in Russia, but I don't know. We'll see. But this one is, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a couple different factors. I don't think it's that he doesn't have the skill set anymore.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. It's just weird that he's just not producing. I mean, he's going, what, 9 or 10 games without a goal now, which I think is the longest drought of his career. It's just weird. You know? So I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, we're going to have to wait and see what happens, but that's a big test for Carberry. How to
cure the best goal scorer, second best goal scorer in the world or in the history of the league. How to cure that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And hopefully they can figure it out. Obviously.
Now, what else should we cover here in Caps World?
Oh, what is there to talk about? Let me see. I'll go through the notes real quick. We talked about you had brought up a play. You want to talk about the other dude in Hershey now, or you want to talk about that when we go down on the farm?
Let's do down on the farm.
Okay. There's some news that came out about the Caps potentially moving to Northern Virginia. I mean, I've seen a little bit of that. I don't really care. I feel like the commute for me either way is like 20 minutes to the metro and then about 35 minutes on the metro or like a 50 minute drive to Northern Virginia. Like I'm kind of either way, it's the same amount of time. When was Verizon's or MCI or Capital One Arena actually? When did that get? Was it the mid 90s?
I want to say early 2000s. I remember going to a couple wrestling matches at the US Air Arena in Landover, Maryland.
Opened in 97.
Well,
so
I'm wrong.
I mean, yeah, how dare you? It's what? 30 No, 20 How old is this freaking arena?
It's 2023.
No, I know that now. How old is it? It's 26 years old, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not old by any means, but definitely in need of some updates, you know, and that means you got to spend money. And a buddy of mine was saying he thinks that this talk of Northern Virginia, I think it was today, political people in Northern Virginia were meeting to discuss probably offering a bunch of money to Leonsis and Co., you know, saying we'll give you this land or we'll give you money towards building a new rink in North, I think in, was it Potomac Yard?
I'm not sure exactly where Northern Virginia, but I'm glad that we brought this up in the notes just because, like you said just recently, like, the commute's not going to change for
me. Potomac Yard, yeah.
Me as a Baltimore guy, though, I live in Baltimore. I'm a Caps fan in Baltimore. Baltimore loves the Capitals. You know, the Stanley Cup did make its way up to Baltimore eventually to Camden Yards. So Baltimore is a hockey town. They're a Washington Capitals hockey town. But getting to D.C. from Baltimore is a rough commute. There have been a plethora of games that I have missed because I just can't make that drive at rush hour. If you tack on, I have to now go to Northern Virginia to see a weekday game. You're losing that Baltimore market for this team because that team those Baltimoreans are not going to drive to Northern Virginia.
So here's the thing. It's not Northern Virginia like Tyson's or Reston or, you know, Vienna or Herndon. You're not heading out to Dulles. It's near National Airport. It's actually the Potomac Yard area is just south of National Airport, which that traffic kind of sucks. But right now, according to Google, it would take from Baltimore to the Potomac Yard because I don't know exactly where the rink is going to be. And you're north of the city. So
a little bit. I'm in the city, but
in the north of like downtown. I'm not, I mean,
yes,
you're not like
yes.
at the, you know, right where the dot pops up when you type in Baltimore.
I'm not hanging out at the harbor anytime soon.
But it's 57 minutes, which I feel like for you to get to Capital One, like leaving your house to there is probably it's probably the same amount of time, I would imagine. And you're not
that would probably,
you're not paying for Metro. You're probably gonna pay for parking. We get to pay for parking anyways at the Metro. So like yeah. I, you know, here's my thought. The reality of it is, and my understanding of what I've read is that Leonsis is not thrilled with the rink. He wants it updated, and like annoyingly, like every other owner in professional sports, he doesn't want to pay for it. Now the DC government is trying to bring the Commanders back to DC. They want them back at RFK, not, you know, RFK. They want them at a new stadium.
Right.
And that's going to cost a boatload of money. Monumental and Leonsis are looking at it going, hey, we've been great tenants for you. We've brought a lot of money for the city with fans constantly coming in for Caps games, for Wizards games, for Mystics games, for other events at this building. We want, I think they want like $600 million to, is it $600 million? To make it better and nicer. And there's also some rumors that Leonsis just isn't really infatuated with that part of town anymore. And he can move over to Virginia. It's closer to the practice rink. The players, my understanding, is all live in Virginia.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense. You know, does he get a spot kind of near the water? So it looks kind of cool. I mean, you're inside, so it's not quite like a baseball stadium or a football stadium outside or soccer. But, you know, it still looks kind of cool. You're not terribly far from Nationals Park, given that Leonsis all those rumors about wanting to buy the Nats. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, there's a Metro station near there for fans who want to take the Metro. So I would not be surprised at all. Buddy of mine thinks it's just they're using the Virginia as a way to get more money out of DC.
Sure.
But the building's getting a bit older, and I would not be shocked at all if he was like, screw this, we're going to build a state-of-the-art new rink in, you know, it's northern Virginia technically, but it's south of DC, not by much. It's just, it's literally right past the airport. So, you know, it would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens, but also Ted Leonsis just put a boatload of money into the arena by putting in a studio for the Monumental Sports Network. So he has invested a lot into that building already, and he just bought the network this past year. So there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and moving a studio is real easy because most of the stuff is digital anyway nowadays. So it'll be real intriguing to see what happens next, but this could just be a bargaining chip. But I am kind of intrigued to see whether or not the Baltimore-based fans would travel or would support a team that's located in Virginia. I don't know if they will.
What's the alternative? You're going to be a Flyers fan? That's even a longer drive.
That is.
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Yeah.
It's just like, yes, it's kind of annoying. And it's by technical distance, it's further, but you know, you're watching them on TV, you go to games every once in a while. And I feel like in this area, because we're so, you know, it's the big metropolis between what, like, at this point, like North Carolina, up through Boston, up through, you know, the area of Massachusetts. You know, if you're a fan of a team in, I don't know, Ohio, right? Or you're in Illinois, like you're following the Chicago teams, but you may not live anywhere near there. You know, and so I think that's kind of reality is like, yes, it'll be potentially longer, harder for fans in Baltimore to get to the team, but I don't know if that's necessarily a reason to stop following them.
Right.
Now, if they were to turn around and say, like, screw you, Maryland fans, we're here for Virginia, then you're like, what? You know, then you give middle finger to the state of Maryland, then it's like, okay, well, that's different. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this one plays out. It's not like Virginia is going to come out and say, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of money. And Leonsis is just like, well, we're going to do it. You know, he could still be like, nah, we're going to stay in the city.
Now, I think this is years away from a
Well, they have a lease,
from
I think,
a decision.
I think they have a lease at Capital One until like 2027.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's intriguing to see what will happen. And, you know, I bring that up about Baltimore fans, but Ovechkin's contract is also coming up soon. What does that mean for Baltimore fans? You know, when you don't have that superstar talent anymore, will those fans that live in a different town or whatever, will they also go away because he left? I mean, maybe, who knows? We'll see. You know, time will tell. But what else should we cover in Caps World? Anything else?
Last little bit of news, but the Caps will have a guest coach for a couple of days. So Carrie Turner, who is the head coach of Quinnipiac's women's ice hockey team, will be the guest coach for the Caps during their practices on December 12th and the 13th. She is in her ninth season as the head coach at Quinnipiac and 16th overall. Currently is leading that team to a 16-3 record, and I believe I read they're 10-0 at home. So that's pretty cool. Wow. The team, you know, bring in some talent on the coaching staff, let her come in. You know, maybe this is something where they're like, you know what? We may have a spot for you on the team. And then, you know, if you're bringing in someone who's a good coach, why not? Gender doesn't matter. If you know what you're doing and you know the game and it's better for the team, you know, let's have it. Works for me.
Absolutely. I love it. New ideas and everything else in that locker room can never hurt. Well, I think that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
In the past week, Hershey went 1-2 with a win over Cleveland. Bears are currently first in the Atlantic Division and the entire AHL with 38 points, 5 up on Hartford in the division. They'll spend the week at home hosting Providence on Wednesday at the Giant Center before welcoming Laval on Saturday and Springfield on Sunday. Now, on Saturday, Capital Center Ethan Frank earned a 4-point game with a goal and 3 assists. Do you throw hats on the ice for 3 assists? I feel like that's still kind of a hat trick.
Maybe you just throw visors.
You dork, but that was a good one. That was really clever. Oh, I'm annoyed I didn't think of that. Well played, sir. Well played. This was his third 4-point game in his career and first of this season. Now, I know you asked this question before, but let's talk about Mr. Frank. Is there a spot for him in the NHL, and why hasn't he gotten one yet? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I'm reading this about, I don't know much about Ethan Frank, but a 4-point game seems like it would be a big deal, and the fact that he has done that 3 times in his career, hit the first this season, and we talked about it too, like with the power play not working, Henrik Lapierre was the guy that they called up, and he looked really good at the gate, and then he kind of slowed down. I'm like, why aren't you bringing Ethan Frank up to see maybe he can energize the power play a little bit, maybe he can play at this NHL level? I think, you know, you at least like towards the end of the year, they usually will bring up an AHLer that's playing really well just for, you know, a cup of coffee in the NHL. They let him have a game or two. I think Ethan Frank, you know, he's got to be the leading candidate for that role, maybe later on in the season. But for a guy who's doing that much in the AHL, I don't know why, you know, Henrik Lapierre is just the de facto guy you would go with when you got somebody like Ethan Frank there lighting it up. Maybe. Now, don't get me wrong. Henrik Lapierre went back to the AHL recently when he was sent back down earlier this week. And the first game he had there, he got a goal. So Henrik Lapierre, that NHL time did him good. But like Ethan Frank, he's also lighting it up.
So going into or going back to last season, he was third on the team in points for the Bears. 30 goals, 19 assists, 49 points in 57 games. Now, he's not the biggest guy out there. If I have this right, according to Wikipedia, let's check actually the AHL website. He is listed at 5'11", 185 pounds. The Caps signed him this past offseason to a, where are you? 1 year deal. He's got a low cap hit. He's 25 years old. He turns 26 at the beginning of February on the 5th. So I think there's potentially a couple of reasons we haven't seen him yet. One, LaPierre he's younger, not dramatically younger. How old is LaPierre? I mean, he's got to be 21.
Isn't he like 22, 23?
I don't think he's 23. Where is LaPierre? There you are. 21. He turns 22 on relatively early in February. You know, he wasn't, Ethan Frank wasn't drafted. He took a little while in the USHL and then the NCAA, you know, getting up to speed. So maybe he's one of those guys that just is kind of, I don't know, blossoming into a better player as he gets older. It takes a while to kind of understand what's going on at that level. But it looks like last season he did really well. And I was a little surprised he didn't get called up last year, isn't getting called up this season. But the only guys they've really called up, unless I'm mistaken, I mean, like Scarposo, I think he got a game. And, you know, Abe Kubel got called up. And then LaPierre got called up. I don't think he's going to get the nod over LaPierre necessarily unless he continues to tear it up. But I think he's a guy that I want to see what he's got in the NHL. My question is, like, whose spot is he taking? He's 5'10", 178. He's not the biggest dude out there, you know? So whose spot is he taking in the lineup? You're going to need an injury before you're going to let him in.
Yeah, I feel like if you're trying to clear some cap space up and somebody is traded away, like, you know, if Evgeny Kuznetsov gets his wish and he does get traded away, you bring up Henrik LaPierre, somebody else gets hurt, and then Ethan Frank gets a job. Like, he's not high on the totem pole, but it's going to take some maneuvering for him to get up to the NHL level.
Well, I mean, some of that depends, of course, on, like, you know, to use your example, if you trade Kuznetsov, who comes in for him, that kind of thing. So I don't know who he comes in for, if it's this season or next season. I wonder if he's one of those guys that's just tearing up, and maybe he's a career AHL player. But
sure,
why not give him an opportunity? But again, the question is over who. You know, right now we're looking at this team, and it's Phillips that's on the outside looking in terms of being up in the press box, which, you know, for his contract is fine. It's not the end of the world. For a guy like Ethan Frank, you want him playing. So let him keep doing well in Hershey. And if you need someone to call up, he's a really good option to be able to bring in him. He's got, what, 12 goals, 10 assists in 22 games. I'm sorry, 22 points in 25 games this season. He's certainly, you know, he's looking at him going like, guys, look at me. Let me come show you if I can play. So it's not a bad thing by any means to have this guy in the minors and be able to bring him up. And maybe he's someone that just blossoms a little bit later. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he could be an NHL player. I just don't know where he fits into the lineup right now. And the Caps still have Max Pacioretty, who's coming back. Like, whose spot he's taking? Right. Who's coming out of the lineup for him? I honestly don't know, because, you know, Carberry wanted to see Mallinson, Dowd, and Abe Kubel at the beginning of the or in the summer. Right. So, like, is it Milano coming out of the lineup? Do they trade someone like Mantha? I don't know. So that's an interesting problem that they're going to, not a bad problem. You know, that's an interesting situation that they're going to have to deal with pretty soon. In the next week or two, I think we could see Pacioretty playing. So that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Good stuff.
Yeah. But anyways, let's go down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Florida. They are currently second in the South Division with 26 points, 8 back of first place Greenville. Now, they head to Orlando on Tuesday before hosting Greenville on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum before heading back on the road on Saturday to Jacksonville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's take a quick word from our sponsors, and we will be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. Everybody, welcome back to the show. There's lots going on in the world of hockey, so Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
I mean, there's some stuff going on. A ton since we last recorded. You know, nobody got suspended. One dude got fined. There's no trades, no real free agent signings, which means like something crazy is going to happen tomorrow. It's been relatively quiet. You know, Tampa's Austin Watson was fined $2,022.58. Got to get those cents. For unsportsmanlike conduct against Nashville's Jeremy Lauzon. Now, I know we talked about this before the show, but there were some scary scenes in Detroit where winger Dylan Larkin was knocked unconscious while his team was on the power play. Now, there's news articles that are saying like it was Ottawa's Matthew Joseph cross-checking him in the back of the head and the neck. But I went back and I watched it a few times, and in the broadcast, they kind of show you, well, the link I found on YouTube, I believe it was a Detroit's broadcast. If you watch the play, it's Joseph's right hand is holding the stick. And for a second, it does look like he's got both hands. And while both hands make connection with Larkin's head and his neck, his left hand isn't holding the stick. So it's not a cross check. It's more of like a fist shove to the back of his head and his neck. And I don't think that's necessarily where he loses consciousness. But when he shoves him kind of forward, you know, again, head and neck forward, which is probably fairly uncomfortable, he's pushed into another Ottawa player, Parker Kelly, whose right hand then makes contact with the lower right side of Larkin's face, who then just crumbles down to the ice. Now, his head does hit the ice, but I feel like he lost consciousness before that.
Yeah.
And then he just lays there. He's out cold. And like, I forget who it was on Detroit. Like the play is, I think they play for another like second or two and then it's blown dead. And then the dude on Detroit turns around and just like cross checks or punches the bejesus out of a guy on Ottawa. And then they all kind of get mad at each other. One of the Ottawa players looks down and sees Larkin's just out cold. And he's like, oh, snap. And he looks to the bench. He's like waving frantically, like, get someone out here. This dude is in trouble. So he was out cold for about a minute. He was able to skate off, but he was kind of hunched over and needed some help. Dude has to have a concussion. I have to imagine. But that was pretty scary from what we were seeing over there in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, to see him fall and then he kind of looked like a starfish or making a snow angel on the ice, and he was motionless for a very long time, and he was completely out. You know, I hate to bring up this comparison, but you almost think like it was like a Damar Hamlin type of situation, just the way he laid there and did not move. Very, very scary stuff. So we do have to, you know, say thank you to the doctors and the EMTs that were there, and they rushed out on the ice so quickly. But absolutely, you hate to see that. I mean, Claude Giroux, he's standing over him, and he kind of, the camera shot's a little wide, but he kind of like spins his head around and looks around and he goes, what happened? Because like you said, there wasn't a bad hit.
It did. I mean,
like nothing.
It didn't look that bad.
No, it didn't look that bad at all. So to see that happen, very scary stuff. You hate to see that, but man, hopefully Dylan Larkin's okay and everything will end up hunky-dory, but man, very scary to see on the ice.
It's not, I mean, it wasn't ideal, obviously. And so it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, was it, like you said, a Damar Hamlin situation, or was it just, did he just get hit in the right way? I mean, concussions, we still, as a species, know so little about concussions. It's scary. I mean, I think I've talked about this before. My wife's had two concussions. One of them, like, it makes a lot of sense. But the second one, it wasn't like a bad hit to her head. It just happened to be, you know, she got hit in the right way, in the, you know, or the wrong way, and it can cause it. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But let's wrap up with some congratulations to the U.S. National Sled Hockey Team for winning the 2023 Para Hockey Cup over the weekend. Team USA was able to come away with a 3-0 victory over Canada in the championship game on Sunday. This is Team USA's 8th consecutive and 10th overall Para Hockey Cup championship. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Yes, congratulations to Team USA. Awesome news. The National Sled Hockey Team making us proud over here. We really do appreciate you guys and everything that you do. But, Coach Dan, is that the show?
I think that's it, buddy.
All right, well, everybody, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. You can check us out. We are both on X. You can check me out at Brando Cash. Make sure you follow me there. Coach Dan, where can people follow you at?
Dude, if it wasn't for sports, I feel like this app, like, I'd need to get out of there. It's such a dumpster fire now.
I will tell you, you can follow me on X, but I rarely put anything out there anymore because it's just, I will repost things. But other than that, I barely post anything anymore.
I mean, I mostly am following sports. And it, to be fair, it is the fact there. Social media has become a nightmare. Because people realize that they can, anonymity allows it or makes people believe they can say whatever they want and that they can be jerks, which I don't understand that. Like, you're not a benefit to society. Why are you doing it? But it is the fastest way to get sports information.
Any information, like anything happens anywhere in the world, I go to Twitter X first. I don't go to Facebook. I don't go to Instagram or whatever. I go there first because that's how, you know, I get my news the quickest way possible.
It is. It's just such a dumpster fire because people realize that they can say whatever they want. There's no repercussions. And it's just, it's, and then it's run by a psychopath. So that's also not great.
I will say this as well, but just about the internet in general. The best thing about the internet in general is that it gives everybody a chance to be heard and gives everyone a soapbox. But the worst thing about the internet is that everyone can be heard and everyone gets a soapbox.
Yep. Yep. But you can find me on that mess at WTP Coach. You know, there's a guy who has Coach Dan as his handle, and he hasn't used it since like 2016 or something.
Really?
Or 2015. Yeah, and he's just, it's like, oh, hey, and it says even on there, you can follow me at this new one. Well, then give me that one, you jerk. But anyways, you can find me on there at WTP Coach Dan, talking Caps hockey, Arsenal Football Club, and how PGMOL are a bunch of morons. That is the refereeing association, Brandon, for football over in Europe. Well, in England, to be fair. Or it's UK. I don't know. You can find me on there talking about other sports, the Bills, the Commanders. If you've enjoyed the show, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, the National Hockey League, and other things related to hockey that Brandon finds funny. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was just going on a little bit of a rant about the National Football League. You happen to have a podcast about one of the teams in the NFL. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about that?
That's right. You can check out, like I said, I'm a Baltimore guy. You can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. We talk all things Baltimore Ravens twice a week. And I have a feeling you're going to want to definitely subscribe to my podcast because January and February could be a lot of fun for the Baltimore Ravens. But that's definitely something to check out here. For the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Justin Tucker, Roquan Smith, we talk all about it. Make sure you are social with What the Puck. Give us a like and a follow over on Apple Podcasts. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then rate us over on Spotify as well. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, December 14th, the Capitals are up against Philadelphia in Philly. That is a 7 o'clock start. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. Then on Saturday, the Capitals travel to Nashville. 8 o'clock start up against the Predators. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network or the NHL Network. And they have back-to-back games because they're also playing on Sunday up against the Carolina Hurricanes. That is a 6 o'clock start. That's weird. You can watch that one on the NHL Network and on the Monumental Sports Network as well. That's
Sunday game.
6 o'clock.
Sunday.
7, 8, 6. Those are all weird start times for this week. And it's a road trip.
It's the NHL. We're going to keep you guessing.
It's a road trip week. I did not realize that until just now. It's 3 road games this week. So the Capitals are leaving home and packing their bags. This isn't an East Coast road trip. It's Philly, Nashville, Carolina. What would you consider this? I really don't know. Like, if this is just a random road trip of games.
Teams that are relatively near each other. You can go to Philly and even come home before going to Nashville. Although if I'm them, I'm probably going to Philly and then I'm going to Nashville either on that night of the 14th or going on the 15th. And then I come home on Monday, the 18th.
Yeah. You get a Friday night in Nashville.
Like you're doing
a
little bit of
off.
A loop, you know?
Yeah. But man, my buddy Dom went to Nashville last weekend, and I was like, dude, you should have just delayed it one more week. You could have seen the Caps and the Predators in Nashville because they have a great barn. They really do. I would love to see a game in Nashville. But Coach Dan, you know what's happening? We have a Saturday Sunday game. Is my boy Charlie Lindgren starting both? Who's getting one? Who's getting the other? What do you think? Is Hunter Shepard coming up? What's your call?
What? Why would Hunter Shepard come up?
I don't know. These guys are always hurt.
We're getting sick. I'm saying Lindgren against Nashville and Kemper against Carolina, but I wouldn't be shocked to see it the other way around.
You can't say that. You got to give me definitive answers.
No, I'm saying Lindgren versus Nashville and Kemper against Carolina. But if it was the other way around, I'm not going to be like, what? Why would they do that? I'd be like, all right. Like, I think that's what I would do. But I'm not like.
Do you start Kemper in Philly? So it's Kemper, Lindgren, Kemper?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
You got a little Lindgren sandwich, a little Lindgren Oreo right there?
I wouldn't phrase it that way. That's weird. But yeah, that's what I think that would make sense.
All right. Well, hey, that's the show for this week. We'll be back next week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.